Rabbi Yamin and I are friends, but I hope if I'm a little bit of a Rebbe, then I'm not too old or too removed to be able to be a Rebbe of yours, to be able to learn with you. Last year, I spoke about Hamelech Basada, that Elul is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to us. Dirshu Hashem b'himatzo k'ru b'yoso karov. And I told an amazing story, which I'm going to say quickly again. And this year we're going to take a different approach. The amazing story is that the king is really close, but you have to know he's there and have the guts to ask for things. Story goes that Rav Tuvia Weiss, who passed away since we told the story, he was the head of the Eda Haredis. He was a child survivor of the Holocaust. His parents were killed. And he was brought to England from Hungary. And he told Rav Biederman a great and chilling example of Hamelech Basada, that the king is in the field. He said that kinder transport was arranged by Queen Elizabeth's father, King George, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Biederman. Well, long live the queen. Our bracha worked last year. Okay. So, King George had been involved with. So the Jewish community decided to show thanks that all the children would come out and the king would pass through it in his, I guess, his coach, and they would all salute. And Rav Tuvia Weiss was one of those children, and there was one child in that row. Rav Tuvia Weiss described to Rav Biederman, who ran out, ran towards the coach. And he said to him, King, he managed to get past the soldiers, said, King, you saved me. But what about my parents? And the king asked him for the name of his parents, and Rav Tuvia Weiss said he was the only child whose parents survived. Rav Tuvia Weiss said, the king is in the field. It's Elul, the king is in the field. But just because he's in the field doesn't necessarily mean everybody knows how to take advantage of it. B'siyata d'shmaya, tonight, I'd like to discuss a different understanding of Hamelech Basada. One question. Rosh Hashanah. The beginning of the year. Is it the beginning of the year? What's the answer, Rabosai? No. God created the world on the 25th of Elul. Man is created on Rosh Hashanah. And there's a very famous question. If that's the sixth day of the year, why is Rosh Hashanah called the beginning of the year? And there's a famous answer. I remember hearing the answer. You could take a look. It's even a Beferish art scroll. Emir Tzashem, if you won't be too bored on Rosh Hashanah, but if you're a little bit bored on Rosh Hashanah, take a look in the introduction of the art scroll. They say a famous explanation, but I, as a child, when I read that art scroll, I didn't understand what it meant. The words I was able to say, but the Omek, that's what we're going to try to discuss tonight. The Gruss says that God could be two things. He could be a Moshe, he could be a ruler that thrusts his majesty on everybody else, or he could be a melech. By shofar, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah says, Tiku, shofar lefanai, kidei shetam lichuni aleichem, that you will coronate myself over you. A melech, says the Gra, needs subjects. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not entirely a melech, until we proclaim HaMelech. That's the explanation. But B'siyata D'Shmaya, I want to understand this idea that it's not just about that God, quote-unquote, needs us to proclaim Him as King, to be fully a King. That's true. But there's something much deeper, B'derech HaAvoida, that's happening that I think we could take to very, very practical lessons in our lives. Nesiv Yisholem in Parshas Re'eh quotes the Arizal. Ein adoyme. And boys and men, listen to this very, very carefully. Ein adoyme adam la'adam miyoyim b'riyas adam v'hala ve'ein adam echad yachol l'sakein ma shechaveroi m'sakein. To put in very, very simple words, the Arizal is saying, every single person has a mission. And the mission of one person in the world will never be repeated. Every single one of us has a tafkid. That's what that Rizal says. In other words, if you read the Torah without this message of Pnimius of the Arizal, you might think all of us are uniform, that we all have 630 mitzvahs. And we need to listen to those mitzvahs. The Arizal, the Derech Pnimius HaTorah, changes that, or much more accurately, deepens that. And that is that your tefillin is not the same as my tefillin, and my responsibility in this world is not the same responsibility as yours, and I have a particular mission that I'm supposed to fulfill and accomplish. Rav Fishel Schechter Shlita says so beautifully over and over and over again, you are exactly where you're supposed to be. Your mission is where you find yourself. When you miss the bus, that's your mission. That's your shlichus. Now, there are two amazing pieces of Avodas Hashem that emerge from this. Says in the Siva Shalom, for a person to see their tafkid, they don't need to learn or hear a lot of Torah. But they have to open their eyes. They have to look and see the particular shlichus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us. That is Kedei Shetam Luchuni Aleichem. That is HaMelech Basada. When we coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us, because the Svarim HaKadoshim describe that God's manifestation in this world is entirely dependent on man bringing the Chelek Elokus, the Neshama that's inside of him, and bringing it and actualizing it in this world. God doesn't exist in this world, the Sifrei Chassidim describe, until we bring God into this world. And for that, the Zohar doesn't use the term Toshma, come and hear, like the Gemara does. The Gemara, when it's talking about the Torah, Hanigla, uses the term Toshma. The Zohar uses the term Tochazi, come and see. Re'ei Anoichi Noisen Lefneichem Ayoyim, you see. All you need to do is just look and see and make the most of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put in front of you. And that's your shlichus. There are some people that God has blessed with a lot of money, and that's their shlichus. And there's some people that God has blessed with a little bit amount of money, and that's their shlichus. And every single one of them has a tafkid and a role in that shlichus. And there's another very, very, very important lesson that emerges from this. If every single one of us has a particular mission, then that means there's absolutely no competition between us. The Bali Musar described this as that all of Klal Yisrael is on a mission to bring God's honor into the world, and each one of them corresponds to a different part of the body, of one body of Klal Yisrael. So does one finger look at itself as competition with the other finger? Is the finger jealous of the eye that's the most complex, the most brilliant of all of the organs of the body? No. Because every single one realizes that it's created for a particular mission. There's absolutely no competition. Listen to this beautiful part of Rav Schneer Kotler Zatzal. Rav Schneer asked, the Pasuk says, Banim atem Hashem Elokeichem lo yiseskoididu, your children of Hashem, don't scratch yourself. So Chazal have a famous and beautiful drasha, which has halachic implications, al tasu agudos agudos. Don't divide yourselves into different groups fighting against each other. So Rav Schneer points out that in general, the Ksav HaKabbal is a sefer that's devoted to this. In general, when the Torah gives us a drasha, the drasha is connected to the pshat. What's the connection between scratching yourself, which is prohibited in the Torah, to scratch your flesh, and making yourself different groups? Says Rav Schneer Kotler, based on the above vart, it's beautiful. Since we're one guf, and just like it's understood that there's no jealousy, there's no competition, and afuch, the finger understands that the eye complements the finger. Without the eye, the finger doesn't know where to go. And without the finger, then the eye can't execute. So then so too, al tasu agudos agudos. Rabosai, we're all here together on a mission. It's not about ranking, certainly when it comes to Avodas Hashem. And here, I turn to the Torah Shraga boys, and I say to you, you have a tremendous opportunity. Because you're exiting a dangerous place to a very, very special place. And that's the place called exams. Exams, on a certain level, have a value. But tests sometimes don't get everything that they're supposed to get from you. You know, they say there was a gangster's son. His father came home. He had a big final, a three-hour final. And his father said to him, "How did you do on the exam?" He said, "Dad, I did great. I didn't tell them a thing." So sometimes tests don't do what they do. Or, what about a great test? There was once a bunch of students, each one of them had gone out together. Four students had gone out together for a party. This one you might know. They had gone out for a party. For a few different reasons you might know this one. They had gone out for a party, and they come back the next day, and they realize there was a test. They had entirely forgotten about the test. So they made up that they were going to say that what had happened was they were stuck, and the tire broke, and they weren't able to study, and they were mamish and onus. They told the teacher. The teacher said, "No problem." He said, "I'll give you a makeup next week." And next week, he gave them the test. The test had one question. It said, "Which tire?" That's a perfect test, right? That teacher was brilliant. But at the end of the day, tests often take our Torah learning and they turn it into ranking. They turn it into who's better in Gemara or who's chas v'chalila worse. And that's not what we're here for. Each one of us are here to grow to the maximum of the way in which is appropriate for our neshama. And so I tell the yeshiva boys who are here, where now the curriculum doesn't revolve around tests, now's an opportunity, a tremendous opportunity to alter your mindset. And I turn to the smicha guys and I say, yes, we should have tests. But at the end of the day, remember that the tests are just a heichi timtza, is just a way for us to do chazara. I thought that this is pshat. This point is a very, very important point, which is a pshat in Tosas in Bav Metzion Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Tosas points out that there's a contradiction. The Gemara in one place says that you're allowed to lie over things that will break shalom. So, for example, if there's people who are taking advantage of somebody else, the Gemara says you're allowed to lie. One of the examples that Gemara says you're allowed to lie if someone asks you, "Do you know this Masechta?" You're allowed to lie. Tosis asks, but wait a second. Chazal also say, "Al tegamgem." When someone asks you Torah, don't stutter. Answer immediately on the spot. You're supposed to answer what you know. So it's a contradiction. Says Tosos, if they're asking you a shaila because they want to understand, then you have to answer al pims. But if they're testing you, then you're allowed to lie. Tosos on that daf also says that the heter to lie is because shalom. Tosos seems to be drawing at that sometimes testing doesn't create shalom. And our Talmud Torah is a mission together. And each one of us has a different tafkid in Talmud Torah. So there are two powerful lessons that we have of the idea of HaMelech Basadeh. Number one is that each one of us has a mission. And because each one of us has a mission, the other powerful lesson is, once each one of us has a mission, that means that there is no longer any bit of competition at all in Klal Yisrael. Now this understanding of HaMelech Basadeh, in contrast to Rav Tovia Weiss's understanding, brings us to another very important and beautiful application of a story of Rav Shlomo Kalbach, and with this I conclude. Rav Shlomo Kalbach told this story in his hesped for the Lubavitcher Rebbe Zatzal, emphasis on Zatzal. But this story is a Sipurei Tzadikim about the Rebbe Zichrono Livracha. But it's also, I don't think he intended it, but I think a very, very, very powerful message about what HaMelech Basadeh means. For those of you who don't know, Reb Shlomo Kalbach I'm not a historian, for about two, three, 4 years was actually very much connected to Chabad. He worked in Crown Heights. He was a Chabad Chassid. And then there was some type of fallout. I don't know exactly what it was, but there was some type of fallout. But Shlomo Kabach, for a few years, spent most of his waking hours at 770 by the Rebbe. And he describes in his hesped for the Lubavitcher Rebbe, he describes that he would leave the Rebbe's area where he was being Makarev and was talking to people, usually about 2, 3 in the morning. Sometimes, he said, he would just sleep in his car. Sometimes he would drive home. Many times he said he didn't have a car and he would take a subway. Now at the same time, Shlomo Kabach had taken upon himself the following Kabbalah. He had taken upon himself that he would never go into a subway car and sit by himself. If there was anybody there, Jew or Gentile, he was going to greet them and say hello and greet them with a warm smile. So he said one night he's leaving 770 and it's 3 in the morning or so. And he's going to the subway. He hasn't slept since 5 or 6. And he's praying that the subway car is going to be empty. He's on his way back to the Upper West Side. And he walks into the subway car. Sure enough, it's empty. First stop, someone gets on. He opens his eye. He says to himself, a Kabbalah is a Kabbalah. He goes over to the fellow and he says to him, hello. He says, what's your name? He says, it's David Silberberg. Okay, name is fictitious. Says, oh, nice to meet you. My name is Shlomo Kabach. He says, David, you're out quite late at night. What's going on? He said, David says to him, it's the night of my life. He said, I just got engaged. Shlomo jumps up, in the middle of a subway car, 3:02 in the morning, Shlomo Kabach is dancing with Asher Bara. After he finishes dancing, he says, what's the name of the bride? The guy says, Susie O'Donnell. Shlomo's face falls. Shlomo thinks fast. Shlomo says to him, Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov. You should know, we Chassidim, we have a tradition that we bring ourselves to the Rebbe, to our grand rabbi for a blessing before we get married. They still do it in Chabad, he's no longer there. Okay, that's a little strange. But at the end of the day, for Chassidim, it's special to go to the Rebbe. So he says, I want to take you now to my Rebbe, to my grand rabbi. So Shlomo Kabach describes, they go to the other side of the subway, back to Crown Heights. They come to the Rebbe's study. Now, the Reb Shlomo was saying all this to bring out the godless of the Rebbe, as you're going to see in a moment. He said, we come to the Rebbe's study, it's now 3:45. The Rebbe is still in there with Hasidim, and everything is vibrant. He says, he sticks his head into the office and he says to the Rebbe, in one sentence, I'll say in the Yiddish the way Reb Shlomo said, not, I don't know the way he said it, but he said in Yiddish, he said to Dem Yid, Gate, Tzum Chasen Zayin Mit Agoya, and that was it. He said, this Jew is supposed to marry a Gentile. And he ushers him in, this is my grand rabbi, Menachem Mendel Schneerson, and David comes in. Reb Shlomo said he sat outside, it's now 3:45 in the morning, he said he sat outside for 3 hours, 6:45. He said, David, and there's Yechidus, the Rebbe and David. He says, when David comes out, there are tears flowing down his face. And Reb Shlomo just concludes the story, and he says, and now David is a Chashuv Lubavitcher Shliach. Now, what Reb Shlomo wanted to say was the power of the Rebbe. He said, I have no idea what took place in those 3 hours. David never said what exactly happened in the 3 hours, but that was the koch of the Rebbe Zichron Levracha to change someone's life. But Reb Shlomo was the one who started that story. Because Reb Shlomo understood, for Melech to be Basadeh, we have to bring the king into the field. Because at the end of the day, the subway car is empty if we don't bring the king into the field. Kedei shetam lichuni aleichem doesn't mean like the simple pshat in art scroll. It doesn't mean that we're there to scream Amelech so that there's a king. Kedei shetam lichuni aleichem as of tonight, Elul Tovshin Pei Beis, Hamelech Basada means something else. We have a responsibility to bring the king into the field. Once we recognize that we have a particular shlichus to bring the king into the field, then two things are going to happen. Number one is we are going to be transformed. We're going to be changed. And we are going to recognize that there's no competition in Klal Yisrael, because each one of us has a particular mission. Each one of us are put in a particular subway car. Each one of us are given a particular set of parents. Each one of us are given a particular set of siblings. Each one of us are given a particular IQ. Each one of us are given us a certain amount of money. And every single one of us has a holy tafkid with those gifts that Kodesh Baruch Hu has given us. But then we have to find, then we have to open up our eyes in that subway car and be mamlecha Kodesh Baruch Hu as a melech. I hope in this man we will be able to do it ba'ava v'achva v'reyus, b'simcha v'tuv levav, and be able to take the kedusha of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to every single place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings us. A good Shabbos.
For one more second.
I wanted to tell you something when you have a chance. I want to tell you something. It could be the beginning of next week. No rush. Shukrach. No.